Blog Talk Radio.
This Sunday, NFL kickoff Sunday. Everybody's been waiting for this day. It's just an amazing day today. If you're in the slate for this morning games, you had the Seahawks beating the Panthers. It was the Bengals getting beat by the Bears. You had the Raiders getting beat by the Colts. You had New Orleans taking care of Atlanta, which was a return for Sean Payton there. You had Pittsburgh fall to Tennessee Titans. And you also had New England squeezed by Buffalo, which was sort of a shocker in that sense, a field goal win by them to get past the Buffalo Bills. Then Kansas City all over Jacksonville. I have no idea where Jacksonville and Galbert are, but that was a bad outing there for Jacksonville. And then you had the Jets squeezing by the Bucs, Geno Smith getting his first win. And you also had Miami Dolphins continue their winning streak from last season, so they take care of the Browns. So NFL all over the timeline on our Twitter feed. Everybody's into it. We give a shout-out to NFL girlfriends out there, NFLfemale.com, as well as the female sweetheart, as well as also the rest of the girls that follow us on the Twitter feed that are obviously updating. So it's a great event, great day. So if you haven't followed them, please follow them. They have amazing insights, especially NFLfemale.com. Go there, and they got prizes and all kinds of stuff going on, so take a look at them as well. So welcome to Gridiron Beauties Radio. We're going to have a great show today. Today we have a lineup here. We have Jim Wallen, which was part of the Legends Football League before when it was the LFL, so former managing director of MTV Networks as well. Pretty comprehensive background in mass media, as well as produced and appeared in programs for news, media, entertainment, and sports properties. As well as with the LFL, he had the opportunity to be responsible for the development and implementation and management of the company's broadcast, and obviously with events and selected digital media and marketing initiatives. He was also a company spokesman, well part of the LFL, well respected in the industry. He's a professional. He's developed and produced a lot of things that appeared in major projects, as well as media and properties, including Fox Sports, Fox News, CBS, Comcast, and Tribune, to name a few. And he has been quoted and or his work has also been featured in dozens of publications pretty much globally. So we're going to have him on. We're going to talk about Legends Football League, the status of Legends Football League, get his views on the LFL, the rebranding, and see how that goes. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Joseph Hawes from NFL. The green and white show. We're going to be talking a little bit of New York Jets, as well as what was on the slate today for the NFL. So we have an interesting show today. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our show format is interactive, and we engage via social media platforms. So if you want to participate, you can do so in various ways. On Twitter, you can submit questions to our guests prior to the show using GB Radio, hashtag GB Radio, after any comment. You can always leave comments here on Block Talk Radio under the comment box regarding any guests that we have or any information that we give out. You can also call in and dial 1-714-888-7418, talk to our guests. We love the feedback to our show and for our guests as well. You can find us on various social sites, like on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty, on Facebook at facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. You can visit our website at zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. So we encourage everyone to network with us by sharing reviews, retweets, and posts, any information that you can give out to us on our Facebook page or Twitter. That includes league players and organizations. We also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and branding news by using hashtag 2-minute drill on any post on Twitter. We tell those weekly, and at the end of the show, we shout out to our listeners where you're going to be at and what's happening during the upcoming week. So we want to thank our amazing network of sources that provide us with women's gridiron news and notes globally. Without them, we would not be here today and bring you the news and notes of the women's game. I want to give a shout out to Backseat Coach at IWFL, at WSFL, at Football Nacional, FX Mexico, Jan ATV Football, FIFA underscore Spain, WTF Canada, and of course Touchdown Europe in Europe for their amazing work weekly on league info throughout the European scene. Since we are in the U.S., we cover the most prominent leagues in the gridiron game, whether it be traditional or non-traditional. So you can go to our Facebook page under the likes column, and you can see all the leagues that we follow. And soon we'll be following, obviously, the Guam Women's Tackle Football League season, as well as all the Mexican scene for the season that's coming up October through December. And in December, obviously, LFL Australia. And then coming up, it was a shocker today for all of us. LFL Canada has been pushed back to October 5th. There was a September 13th kickoff, and unfortunately that's not going to happen. So it's been October 5th is now the new setup date for LFL Canada. So let's start the show with Jim Wallen from the LFL, which is Lingerie Football League. We'll talk to him on what's going on there and go into detail with that. And let's see if we can get Jim on here. And let's see. Jim Wallen, are you on?
Oh, hello, Oscar. How are you?
Jim, how are you doing today? Good afternoon. Happy NFL victory for the Bears, huh?
Yeah, you know, things are looking actually quite poor for the second and third quarter of the game. But the Bears did come back. Mark Trestman is a genius, and Jay Cutler stayed upright for most of the game, and that produced a victory. So 1-0, that's a great start to the new era, the post-Lovie Smith era here in Chicago, and Super Bowl bound, hopefully.
And you know, Jim, since you're on that note right now, everybody was worried about that when Trestman took over, you know, what the defense was going to do, if they're going to change it up. But it seems to me that he's pretty wise, winning two great cups in the CFL, that he's not going to tweak too many things. He's just going to pretty much try to master that offense, try to get to more points on the board.
Sure. I mean, the terminology is virtually the same from the previous regime. They didn't mess with what was working. And I think what's evident today is that no matter what Mel Tucker's the new defensive coordinator, Rod Marinelli left for Dallas, Mel Tucker, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars, that, you know, a lot of the same ideas and techniques have been kept and are being utilized by especially the cornerbacks. You see plenty of takeaways today and really helped out the offense, really helped out the team, you know, to stay in the game when it very easily could have been, instead of a 21-10 deficit, maybe 28-10 and out of reach. So defense should still be very good this year. I don't know if you can really top what they did last year, but in terms of turnovers and takeaways and how they scored repeatedly time and time again. But, you know, it's week one, long way to go. Staying healthy is key. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But the key for the Bears will be the offense, definitely that. We weren't able to achieve a ton of balance on the ground today, but we're able to do enough to win. But as we all know, when the weather gets bad, you're going to have to be able to run the ball. So, you know, we'll see what happens in time. But right now, optimism reigns.
Now, you know, with the loss of, you know, the key on defense, everybody's expecting somebody else to step up. So I think that's going to be a key right there. That's to see who emerges from that because, you know, Bear history always sides on the defensive side as, you know, for favorite players. Offensively, it's never been that key, you know, besides Walter Payton, you know, that stretch of Walter Payton, everything else offensively hasn't even been, you know, noted. It's always been a defensive person that stands out as, you know, the key fan point. So do you think anybody's going to emerge from that?
Well, it's difficult to say right now. Obviously, Julius Peppers is a leader on defense. Lance Briggs, I mean, these are Pro Bowl caliber, potentially Hall of Fame candidate type players if they continue to play at a high level for a number of years into the future. So they do have some – and Charles Tillman, of course, Peanut Tillman, one of the premier cornerbacks and, you know, a turnover machine himself. So right now, I mean, yes, you have personalities on defense. On offense, I mean, really, Jay Cutler's career has been marred in many ways by how many offenses he gets thrown into. It isn't his fault or doing that he's been through more offensive coordinators than I've been through shoes. But the reality is that, you know, Mark Trestman develops quarterbacks. He's had a great amount of success, arguably a great amount of success, developing quality quarterbacks over a long period of time. And he's a very cerebral coach. It certainly is a step in another direction from Lovie Smith, who is more defensive-minded, Dick Duran before him, who is defensive-minded, and Dave Wanstead before them, who was defensive-minded. Even Mike Ditka, though he was, let's say, more of an offensive-minded, offensive mind back in the 80s and 90s, that was a different era. Running the football seemed to, I mean, just if you go back, I mean, that seems like light years away in the rearview mirror. But, yes, for the most part, Matt Forte, this is a big year for him. Because Trestman will utilize him out of the backfield, but also he'll catch a lot of balls as well. And as Cutler checks down, Forte should be a very viable option, especially in the open field. And he's had a down year last year, wasn't utilized right by Mike Tite, and that was, you know, he had a very down year for him, battled some injuries as well. So the hope is that you get an offensive mind, you rebuild your offensive line, which they have done, although they are starting two rookies, and you take your chances from there. An uphill battle for the Bears. A lot of the team is in the final year of their contract, so it's really make or break right now for them. I could easily see them retooling and rebuilding if things don't quite, you know, match up, but this is probably the last best chance for this particular team, especially this defense is getting a little older, to make another run to the Super Bowl. And after a couple of disappointing winning records, not making the playoffs for the past 2 years, certainly it's incumbent upon the new regime to win while you can, because nothing's promised in the league. And, you know, moving forward, they're going to have to answer a lot of questions about, you know, if this team does fall short once again with the talent that they have, why? So no one's getting a pass this year. It should be very interesting to see what happens, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I mean, 10 wins is 10 wins, but unfortunately, I guess that just that ship kind of sailed for Lovie Smith. But he was very consistent, which is kind of shocking considering that.
Yeah, he's a winning head coach. He was a good head coach who did not seem to value offensive talent. And the key with the Bears is they missed on the first-round picks that they drafted in many years, and that you can't do that and win consistently in this league. You have to be able to restock your roster, especially, you know, roster spots are very valuable, but that salary cap is as well. I don't need to, you know, anyone who follows the league knows that. So, you know, right now, yeah, they've swung and missed on a lot of draft picks. They've tried to augment their team based on, you know, free agency and all of that, but that's a losing battle in the NFL. And so, you know, what will be key is to see, you know, they have a new GM, Bill Emery, 2 years now, but a new head coach, new way of doing things, new way of drafting, new mentality. We'll see if that translates into more wins, because no matter whether Chicago self-identifies as more of a blue-collar defense-first town, which it does, it doesn't mean that people don't want to see offense and that we couldn't accept a 40-20 victory every now and then. So,
that's the key right there. I mean, 24 points first week out, that's pretty impressive. So I'm hoping that, you know, in week two it's going to improve at some point. So we'll see how that
we've
goes.
We've seen that before, but we'll see what happens. Points. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk Legends Football League, or formerly Lingerie Football League. Let's dive into the fans and let the fans know exactly what's going on with you and, you know, how you got involved. So let's go with a few Q&As here and see where we can dive in. Some of the fans wanted us to get you on. It was kind of like a sort of an abrupt leaving when you left, and it was kind of shocking to a lot of the diehards that followed the league since 2009. And you've been kind of a staple as well as, you know, Justin Shunrock. So it's sort of like shocking to have somebody leave an organization and go forward with that. But how did you get involved, Jim, primarily with the LFL when it started to emerge onto the scene?
Well, I was actually approached even before the very first kickoff. I don't remember if it was 2008 or 2009. Probably it was 2009. When Justin, who ended up being, I believe, vice president of TV and film. He basically built their media, the digital media department, for, I would say almost essentially from scratch. Played a very integral part in the product. There's a lot of he has my respect. Deserves a lot of credit for the ascension of the brand in its first few years. He approached me with a project, and it was a minor project at the time, but it had to do with explaining what this league is. You know, trying to explain to people, bridging the gap between what was originally the pay-per-view special, the alternative programming, the Lingerie Bowl, and how that would fit into this new concept, which was really built off of the other one, which was the Lingerie Football League. So I got involved in that capacity, very small capacity, wasn't involved, you know, in day-to-day and nothing of that sort. However, near the end of the first season, going into, I believe, the second, I was approached about trying to get a weekly television show, or at least a pilot shot, to possibly try to branch out in broadcast. My expertise is more in TV broadcast and just live television and all that. So for me, I looked at that opportunity and I said, well, let's give this a shot. Let's try to make it work. And, you know, it failed miserably for a variety of reasons initially. A year later, we got it right. We aired a special, produced a special, airing on MTV Networks before, I believe, it was Lingerie Bowl 8, covering Eastern and Western Conference teams. It was basically a preview. And from that point on, my involvement increased more. So people can say I've been a staple possibly for 2 years of that time, I would say. You probably are more right than wrong. Prior to that, I was involved. I was, you know, certainly acutely aware of the product, where it was, the trials and tribulations of all business owners and people involved in the startup to some degree face, especially in a new world of live events and weekly live events. So I've seen the good, I've seen the excellent, I've seen the bad, and I've seen the ugly. And so, you know, as we come full circle, that, I mean, that's really how I became involved with the league. It was through connections and through networking, and certainly it was an interesting experience and one that I'm certainly happy to talk about with you today.
Awesome. So during that time, Justin, I mean, the fans have seen the brand. They saw the brand get, you know, obviously criticized, and it went through a situation where 4 years later it's somewhat accepted. What was your opinion of the company, you know, from top to bottom initially, given obviously the brand that it was going into, the lingerie, what you call it, the lingerie staple?
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt then and believe now that all companies must evolve or die. It really depends. It comes down to it's all about, my hero Gordon Gekko would say, as he would say, it's all about bucks, kid. You know, the rest is conversation. And so in the end, what's going to sell your product more? Is it going to be taking the approach that, you know, what are you giving up in order to make revenue, you know, in order to generate that revenue and really separate yourselves from, you know, from other sports, other brands, et cetera, you know, making what you do your own, trying to become the epitome of what you are trying to do and the standard for, you know, for that particular industry. So basically, you know, certainly, you know, the company has shown an ability to evolve and adapt to changing circumstances. People can editorialize positively or negatively on the way that might be done, whether it could be done better or worse. It's not my place to really judge it. That's for the public. I believe that good people are involved in areas of the organization, and really, you know, like in any company, it's up to leadership to recognize their valuable assets, who's valuable, who isn't, you know, and invest perhaps sometimes in quality over quantity. So in the end, I mean, look, it comes down to whether or not fans are entertained, whether people are entertained and want to spend their hard-earned money to invest in the product in some way, shape, or form. Is it compelling enough? Is it entertaining enough? Is it watered down? Does it not work for you? Is it overhyped? Does it not deliver all the time on promises? Do announcements mean anything? That's something that over time, as a brand matures, that you begin to expect, as long as they have a high level of you know, professionalism in how they conduct their business. Now, I'm not speaking positively or negatively on the subject, but just to try to answer your question in a thorough way, my opinion of the company was that it was a growing company, so you have to crawl before you can walk. And no matter what your public stance might be or the messaging that you project to the public of how you may be more established or you may look a certain way to give off a more to give people more confidence in what you're presenting, still in the end, you have to come to terms with who you are at that point in time and then take your brand from that point on. Acknowledge any mistakes that are made over time, but you can't ignore people. You can't ignore your fan base. You have to listen to what people are saying out there if you care about getting, you know, getting them to commit to you. It's not about you committing to, it's not about you committing to them as much as it is them committing to you. So it's like a relationship.
Now,
you have to, you
now,
know,
Jim,
you have to.
It's been you know, told to us. It's been told to everybody that's followed the LFL since you know, since 2009. It just goes to show that somehow, you know, the attitude of the ownership, you know, we have constant fans saying, hey, I'm blocked on Facebook. I'm not be able to express my my views on the official sites. You know, the NFL doesn't do that. The NBA doesn't do that. The NHL doesn't do that. You know, how do you think that Mitchell Mortaza justifies the fact that to the fan shows that he doesn't want to hear the voice of the fan? Because the fan obviously wants to vent, and venting is expressed and it's been written. So do you feel that the fans have taken the LFL to an NFL level of to where they feel like this is the NFL in some ways, or are they just too harsh?
You'd have to ask them. You're talking about in terms of expectations. In terms of expectations, as a consumer, I can only speak to myself. And I expect when investing my time in following a product, watching 30 seconds of a product, anything, if you're trying to sell me something, whether that's through your partners where you're gaining ad revenue, you want me to watch, you need eyeballs on your product, or whether it's simply to come out to a game, let's say in the case of live sports, to sell tickets, to generate interest, to create or max out additional revenue streams, I would think, in my view, that yes, you certainly have to take your fans seriously and not discount them. At the same time, it's a private company. It's privately owned. This isn't a government entity the taxpayers fund, you know, and pay for, and therefore have a right to express their views, you know, more forcefully, per se, and affect change. Look, if a given company decides that they don't want to hear from their consumers, well, that's their problem. So it's live by the sword and die by the sword. And if you turn off people from your product because of, no matter what you're selling, because of strategies that you employ, because you don't want to hear negativity or criticism or can't take it, well, then that's more reflective, in my opinion, on what, you know, what your company is putting out there. I think every company gets criticized. I just don't think that successful ones are necessarily, you know, as thin-skinned. So, look, it's great that fans are passionate about a sport, which was only a blip on the radar 4 years ago or so, to care. But at the same time, look, if people stop caring, you know, I think that a product that's only 3 or 4 years old might find themselves in a most difficult predicament. You don't necessarily want to go there and burn bridges, and that's just not—it's not a good way to do business, no matter what. So, you know, it's really up to them. I don't know exactly where their revenue comes from, and whether fans really play a critical role in their corporate leadership's view. But I can just speak to the point that, you know, in the end, people have a choice to make, and there are plenty of other options out there for your entertainment dollar. And so if you like what you're seeing, and if you can deal with consistency or inconsistencies, or you know, it's a human business. If you like the entertainment, watch it. If not, then there's plenty of other things out there that can occupy your time. So no one should.
Now,
Jim, in my opinion, I don't think people should get too freaked out about it. That's all.
Yeah. So Jim, most of the fans understand that obviously it's privately owned. They get that. but they also understand that you have to have engagement, obviously, for growth. You know, you're working side by side with the CEO Mitch Mortaza. What are some of the things that you think he has done well, and what are the things that maybe you feel that should have been done better, maybe in an aspect with the branding?
Well, you know, it's easy for someone who has taken a step outside of the organization prior to its launch and after the first few years, especially because I'm not involved in the day-to-day, to quite understand the rationale behind your decisions, especially at this point. One thing I'll say about Mr. Mortaz, I think he's a very capable salesman. I have very little to add to that. I think a lot that's been written, you know, and a lot that's already out there tells people, you know, it gives people a general idea, probably in some cases, of the type of personality that he is. He obviously has a strong personality. He believes in this product. His style may rub some people the wrong way. In terms of my interactions with him, quite frankly, you know, I was in full control of my destiny. I can't say that that may have been the case for everyone. I felt that I brought a level of professionalism and attention to detail that was respected at the very least. And so my experience isn't nearly as far as a professional working relationship may not be the same as a player in where do they have teams? Where's the team
exactly
now? Florida. Who's what's their? I'm sorry. Excuse my ignorance. Tampa, Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, whoever. It might be different than a player's experience or a coach's experience. You know, certainly we didn't agree on certain things. However, in the end, a professionalism on my end was always exercised toward leadership as I try to grow the brand. So in the end, you know, I think that he's a great salesman. And I think that if anyone wants to take a shot at the brand, look at it objectively, understand that it's also a fairly new product and it needs time to grow. The question is, if it's not growing or if you're not getting satisfaction, well, you have other options out there. And if you want to move on to those options, great. If you want to stick with the product that he is selling to you through his associations and his I don't know where they're airing games necessarily now, but you know, through all those platforms and channels, then, you know, that's great. More power to you. But
since you're mentioning airing,
go ahead.
No, Jim, since you're mentioning airing, you know, you being a vital part during that time when MTV2 was, you know, probably one of the avenues that was at. Most of the fans really thought that was going to allow the brand to grow over, you know, a season or two, and everybody was disappointed when obviously the decision was made. Do you know what the reason behind, you know, the decision as to why they, you know, they pulled out, or was it MTV's decision to just not offer the NFL the platform for the television?
Well, I know the answer to the question, but to share that would be inappropriate. So I won't go there. What I'll just say is that the broadcast industry is very small, and rival executives talk to other rival executives about programs. I mean, it's that simple. When a company, whether it's Viacom, who owns CBS, who owns, you know, Viacom owns MTV2 and Spike and all these others, you know, look, if you poison the well, and I'm not saying the NFL did, but if you poison the well in a relationship in this industry, in television, you may be sunk for a long time. It could have everything to do with your ratings. It could have to do with the quality of your product. It could do with how you interface with your business partners, whether you get them the content on time, whether you adhere to your contractual obligations, whether you can fund your programs, okay? All that plays into how reliable you are as a brand. And whether people may want to deal with you and offer you an elevated platform or even a similar platform in the future. So the one thing I will say is that, you know, some people may say that it came down to dollars and cents. Perhaps on one hand, you might have the league and the company saying, we were asking for X, Y, and Z, and we didn't get it publicly. Perhaps the story is different. But either way, if the games were on TV, that was a huge success for women's sport. I think it really helped. in a lot of ways, it gets into 75 million households, regardless of whether or not the ratings are similar to, you know, to an NFL game. They aren't, but it still is. It's live coverage, and more exposure for your brand than you ever had. So that was a really positive thing, and I think that leadership at the LFL deserves a lot of credit for being able to engineer that kind of a deal, as well as the leadership at MTV, too. That being said, look, if a product gets canceled, look, TV shows get canceled all the time. Series get canceled all the time. So I would say that, and this is not disparaging MTV, too, either, but their slice of the pie isn't what it used to be when MTV was on basic cable, more so, and you didn't have all these other channels popping up left and right. You were going back 10, 15 years. The strength of being on a national network these days is still a great thing to have. It's much better than being on a local affiliate. But at the same time, you're still dealing with, obviously, you know, a challenge. You're on Friday nights, which is always a challenge. It's one of the toughest nights of the week to get solid ratings. And
so, Jim, realistically, do you think the LFL will get back on a U.S.-based cable network or platform in the near future?
I do not know, but my gut tells me I think it will likely be an uphill battle. I mean, certainly it's possible that an agreement can be reached with one of the dozens of cable networks or so that exist. But again, the broadcast world is very small, and all executives speak. So if a product is taken off the air, typically there is a rational explanation as to why. I mean, the question is, will someone pick up a program based on its ratings? So in my personal opinion, knowing the ratings, knowing how that falls in the grand scheme, regardless, the answer is more than likely not likely. But certainly it is not impossible. And I'm sure, you know, LFL officials are working hard to try to find the next partner, assuming that is what they want to do. And I don't know of any of their plans. But hopefully that answers your question.
Yes, no problem. And Jim, you know, on a final note before we let you go here, I know you were involved with a lot of the players on, you know, obviously involved with interaction with them and obviously viewing them on the field play. So who are and who were a few of your favorite players in the, obviously, the Lingerie Football League that you obviously admired or, you know, was willing at this point or kind of excited to see on game day to play on the field?
You know what, I'll take the easy way out here. You know, I don't have any favorites, but, you know, it was a pleasure to work with those players who exercised excellent judgment, had a great attitude, and possessed an uncompromisingly strong core and ethics. And I think that's something in the business world that you always appreciate because it doesn't always exist everywhere. You know, I'm really happy I did that. We were able to catch up, Oscar. You know, it's been quite a while. And, you know, I'm involved in a lot of projects I'd love to share with you moving forward, but a lot of confidentiality agreements and things like that, some large-scale projects, even one with our good friend Justin Schoenrock. So, you know, that's on the horizon. Love to catch up with
you.
So
are we seeing a reality show here, or are we seeing just can you give us a teaser of any sort?
Oh, sure. Well, right now, let me just say we are in the process of pushing a what we think is a very cutting-edge, interesting idea. I'm not going to give away all the details right now, but we are approaching some obviously some well-known reality producers and people at networks, at least, to try to get a reality special off the ground, hopefully, potentially this year. We'll see about that. You know how the business works. It's not, it doesn't work on your schedule. You have to work on it. So
right.
That's one of the things. I have about four or five things going here. So definitely not hurting and certainly, you know, appreciated all of the stepping stone that was the LFL for the time that I was there. You know, I left on my own terms, and I'm glad that so many of my colleagues, some great people, were able to leave on their own terms as well. And, you know, sometimes you just outgrow the, you know, the pond that you're in, and you need to search for bigger things. And I think that anyone who has, you know, professional courtesy and integrity, of, you know, obviously will appreciate that because that's just, and even in your world, Oscar, you know, someone, Nike comes and offers you a big contract for Gridiron Beauties, come on, are you selling?
Yeah, that's.
Are you selling, Oscar?
No.
Can we put No Joke Football on sale? Can I market you to Reebok? Can I market you to Nike? Can we make that happen?
I have been at an upheaval to try to get the brand up and running like anybody else. So it's a struggle. Every business has its intangibles, and I think that's the key right there. But you know, the fans really wanted to find out what you were doing. You were, like I said, a key person in that. We appreciate you making the time on this busy Sunday, and obviously it's a better Sunday because obviously your Bears won, so it's a good, greatest part of a good Sunday there. Jim, before you go, are you in Chicago, Vegas? Where are you residing at this point? And I know it's at Jim Wallen, so if fans want to engage with you, it's at Jim Wallen, right, on Twitter.
That's right, J-I-M-W-A-L-L-I-N. I am in the Twin Cities. I'm in the Great White North, Minneapolis, just in time for winter. So I'm looking to freeze in about maybe 3 or 4 weeks. Right now it's really warm up here. I'm no longer in Chicago, but my heart's there. And, looking toward the future, some great things on the horizon. Can't wait to share them.
Awesome. So, we'll touch base. We'll keep in touch. And if anything comes up that we can help you out with in terms of another interview to push the word out for anything that you got going on, I know you and Justin are working closely on that, obviously that new endeavor that you guys are working on with the Ventures. So we look forward to that news coming up, and I'm pretty sure you'll disclose that on Twitter or Facebook as well as to what's going on with that. So we appreciate your time. I thank you for coming on today and giving us insights on where your whereabouts are and obviously the insights of the Legends Football League, formerly Lingerie Football League. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye. And we are going to have, that was Jim Wallen from LFL, former LFL LFL executive, giving you kind of an idea of how things are working in the Lingerie Football League. And so we want to make sure that, you were informed and got the right, idea as to where he was at. A lot of fans wanted to figure out where his whereabouts are. But at this point, he's doing great. He's in the, obviously, the news and media angle of it, and he's done well even prior to the LFL. So hats off to him for doing a great job there. We're going to move on to NFL talk right now, and we're going to go and talk to Joseph Hawes from the Green and White Show, and we're going to have him on right now. Joseph, are you on?
Yes, I am. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, Joe. Thanks. Well, congratulations. Jets pull out the win. Geno Smith has become probably one of those unknown names that's going to speak out. Hopefully, maybe a Kurt Warner-like. I don't know if I'm stretching that too far yet, but we're looking at probably a potential good season for the Jets.
Well, seeing that the Jets are, they kind of had to go to Geno Smith with the injury to Mark Sanchez, and it's looking like it's a little bit more serious of an injury than first anticipated. Looks like he might have a tear in that shoulder, so news and reports about Mark Sanchez are still filtering in. But in terms of Geno Smith, his last year in college, starting the first few games of the season, he was in the race for the Heisman Trophy candidate. So for some people who are in the know in terms of college football and what went on, Geno Smith shouldn't be a name that should be unfamiliar to them, maybe as an NFL starter. So he got his first start today and was able to throw for 256 yards, got a touchdown, got an interception, played a shaky quarterback. He played like a rookie, okay? He played like someone who was playing his first NFL game. Those are the kind of mistakes that you were still seeing from a Mark Sanchez, who's been in the league now 5 years. So I can take some of those mistakes from a young guy like a Geno Smith and see him growing, to hear his confidence after the game, to see him not get rattled after throwing an interception, then leading the team straight down, the way he's utilizing different players on the football field. He's throwing to all fields. He's dumping it down. He's utilizing his tight end, and he's able to go outside to his receivers. It was a good thing he was able to have Santonio Holmes make the start today. So after that Liz Frank injury, Santonio Holmes is back for the New York Jets.
And now, everybody, it's kind of been like a drama show, reality check-in, and which is a refreshing way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, because every year the NFL Network has the Cowboys as the staple news reel, and now it seems like the Jets are getting that sort of feel for it. Do you feel that they're microscoped so much on the media, on the NFL Network now, that this puts a lot more pressure on them to succeed or to overcome?
Well, both stations like the NFL Network and ESPN have definitely become Jets-centric with their coverage. And, well, I guess rightfully so, because they're a team that is basically they're a team that people want to know about. Last year with the acquisition of Tim Tebow, it brought a, you know, it brought a media storm with him. I mean, what comes with Tim Tebow is, you know, a large following, not just a following of football fans, but a large following in general. And now with the quarterback situation, with Rex Ryan's job somewhat tenuous at best, with things going on with the New York Jets, it just makes them news, and it might make them something that's interesting for networks to follow. Hey, networks like ratings, so if the New York Jets are what people want to hear about, they're going to go where the ratings are.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's refreshing. That's what I'm saying. It's something where you're not talking Romo talk all 24/7. Now you're really talking. You know, we were talking Revis Island before that, and then the comeback, and now you have. You know, they pull out a win, a one-point win against the Bucks. So was that surprising to you today that they obviously pulled out the win?
Well, earlier in the day, I was able to tweet out what I like to call my last but not least. That's the hashtag last but not least. That's where I predict what's going to happen in today's game for the New York Jets. And I predicted a close victory for the New York Jets in this game. So the one-point victory was nice for the prediction, but also something that I was looking forward to. I can't, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have kind of the same problems the New York Jets have in terms of their quarterback position. Yes, it is Josh Freeman who's starting, but there might be a little dissension in the ranks there. Head coach Shiano might be looking at making a change at the quarterback position. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a team that has definite weapons in terms of Williams and Jackson at the wide receiver position. So this was a team that if we at the New York Jets could get a pass rush, if Muhammad Wilkerson could have the game that he had, if you could see a lot of the Jets' defensive line in the face of Josh Freeman, you'll see him make mistakes. You'll get chances at the football. You'll be able to fluster this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. They were also able to stop the run of Doug Martin, which was very impressive. This was a team that couldn't tackle last year. They showed this first game that they were going to be able to at least clean up some of the tackles. It wasn't going to be missing every open running back or wide open wide receiver. This team was going to show on defense that they were going to be able to. There was a turnover. You got the end zone at your back, and what happens? You get the defense stand up. Yes, they were able to. The only reason why this game was even close was because of one of the turnovers being such a short field. I think the Jets actually went out there and played. ESPN had them ranked as the 32nd best team in the league. They definitely played better than the 32nd ranked team in the league.
Yeah, no doubt there. I mean, and reality is, you know, they, like you said, they're standing out right now. First, it's week one, but, you know, coming from the preseason aspect of it, and now you see the real team evolved. If the defense really stands out at this point in week one, you can pretty sure bet that they're going to obviously improve as weeks go in. But, you know, offensively, I think they showed some real potential. And like you said, obviously a rookie quarterback and all that, but you know, Tampa Bay has they're on Freeman's board or they're off. So it's going to be a kind of interesting season for them as to how they do it. Joe, let's go into the division. You had Miami pull out the win against Cleveland, which is probably no surprise to anybody. So what do you think of Miami right now at this point after week one? Do you think they're going to be the strong point in this division? And then obviously New England just squeaked by Buffalo. So that was kind of surprising for me as well, that New England would actually squeeze in. And I know Buffalo is somewhat improved in some aspects of it. So it's kind of what do you think of the division at this point, given week one?
Well, the division has definitely three teams that were able to pull out wins in Miami, New England, and the New York Jets. Miami beating Cleveland was a bit of a surprise to me. I've got Cleveland actually winning that division, but Brandon Weeden throwing for only 289 yards, one touchdown, and three interceptions. That was a game where I would like to have seen Trent Richardson kind of just utilize a little bit more, only having 47 yards rushing. That was a game where I thought they were able to at least establish the run, give Weeden a little bit more time to throw, but the guy throws 53 balls and they lose the game. What else could the guy do from the quarterback position? They didn't get enough from the running game in terms of the Cleveland Browns. The Miami Dolphins showed that, hey, they've got some talent there at wide receiver. And Hartline, you know, very underrated, but definitely a great player for the Miami Dolphins and what they use him for. Nine balls he caught, 114 yards and a touchdown for Hartline. So I'm looking at the Miami Dolphins, and they're the only team that people kind of in the beginning of the season here, the prognosticators say, could possibly topple New England. New England not really, not looking sharp at all, or Buffalo just looking that good on defense, getting to Tom Brady. I saw Tom Brady on his back several times in this game. So New England battling with the Buffalo team, starting a rookie quarterback, squeaking out the 23-21 victory over the Buffalo Bills. New England definitely wants to show a little bit more in their next game, and they probably will, looking forward to getting the New York Jets on Thursday night to open up Thursday night on the NFL Network. It'll be the Jets going to New England to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In this game, Tom Brady had 288 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Gronkowski with three field goals, including a winner. Jackson and Spiller, runners for the Buffalo Bills, 108 total yards. They were able to establish something on the ground. E.J. Manuel, only 150 yards through the air with two touchdowns. Weren't able to establish as much through the air. He's going to have to improve there for the Buffalo Bills to have a shot to climb out of the cellar of the AFC East.
Yeah, and you know, it's surprising that New England has come out this way, but and more so, not so much because they've lost a couple key players. You know, Welker went out to try to replace him with Amendola. I don't think that's, you know, it's going to take some time to do that, to get in sync with everything. But, you know, overall, I really think the surprising team, you know, after week one, I would have to give it to the Dolphins at this point, being the stronger point. And then, you know, the Jets, of course, in that aspect, but more so Miami, I think it's going to be in that sense. Were you shocked at this point? Kansas City 28-2 over Jacks. I don't think anybody was really shocked at this point, with, given, you know, with the new change and everything else with Alex Smith now in motion and Andy Reid taking over that. I think it was kind of typical former Philadelphia football there. Unfortunately, the Jacks are just in a horrible situation. They're not a real good football team at this point.
Exactly, which is why I couldn't believe ESPN ranked the Jags higher than the New York Jets. Well, I've got another hashtag, 2 to lockdown. That's 2 to lockdown with a hashtag on Twitter. I picked two games out of the Sunday games, and those are the two I'm going to focus on. Those are the two I'll pick. I give everybody my number as well as who I think will win or lose. And one of the games I decided to take this week was Kansas City and Jacksonville. I chose Kansas City and chose them to cover, so it was definitely no surprise to me that Kansas City was able to perform at Jacksonville. What isn't shocking at all as well is how poor Jacksonville is playing. That team, I don't know what they're going to do in Jacksonville. They're not going to be able to fill that stadium. Are they going to be the team that ends up moving to L.A.? I don't know. The Kansas City went in there. It gave Andy Reid and Alex Smith their first win as a combo. Alex Smith throwing for only 173 yards, but two touchdowns, and those two touchdowns came in the first quarter. They established something very quickly, and they never took their foot off the gas pedal in terms of taking it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Kansas City didn't really shock me, and Jamaal Charles, only 72 yards on the ground and a touchdown, could have done a little bit better there, especially when you're dominating a team. I thought maybe he'd press 100, get a little bit more than that. But a great win for Kansas City and a good start for Andy Reid and Alex Smith.
Yeah, and that's so you know, the key right there is going to be the rebuilding of the Chiefs. Everybody was anticipating that even when Andy came in. Everybody knew they were going to be a winner. I mean, they were going to be they weren't going to be what they were before. And I think at this point you're looking at seven wins, eight wins, even more than that, depending on the division, because the Raiders lost today to the Colts. And, you know, and they didn't lose by much, but at the same time, the Raiders obviously fall in that division. And you're looking at Denver, who obviously is so impressive in the opening game. I mean, Peyton Manning, you can't say enough of that guy. He obviously understands what he's got in terms of weapons. He knows. So going into the AFC West, I think at this point, Denver's got to be the favorite coming out of there. I mean, even with Kansas City doing so well today. And then Seattle kind of struggled today against Carolina. So we'll see how Seattle evolves in the NFC. I didn't get the readings on the Frisco game and the Rams and everybody else before coming on air here, but for the most part,
let you know now that the game just went final and the San Francisco 49ers have taken down the Green Bay Packers at Candlestick 34-28. Again, the San Francisco 49ers take down the Green Bay Packers.
So
34-28.
Kaepernick pulled the magics again. That's great. I mean, And they have to beat the good teams, and Green Bay is a good team. So that's obviously a plus for them in the division. Like I said, Seattle beating Carolina, I don't know if that's – I mean, they go into their schedule the next 2 weeks, and we'll see how real they are in that regard. Because, you know, not that say the Carolina is a slouch or anything, but for the most part, defensive game there. So, San Francisco was hype. And then Anton Bolton today, a beast. I mean, if you're on fantasy, you're probably smiling. You're smiling all over the place, especially if you had him in a bunch of leagues. So – I think Baltimore just didn't utilize him well enough. And I think San Francisco with Harbaugh being there, I think he's able to be complimentary to Vernon Davis.
He's quickly becoming a security blanket for Colin Kaepernick in that offense. I just wanted to roll back into some of the comments you made about Seattle and Carolina. This is obviously with San Francisco winning, a game that Seattle needed to win, went on the road, came all the way east, 10 a.m. start to their body clock, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start here on the East Coast. Seattle muscling a win against the Carolina team that needed to and should have won this game. Cam Newton only throwing for 125 yards and a touchdown. He had 5 rushes for 38 yards. This is a game that Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers looked like they were going to win. And when they scored that early touchdown toss to Steve Smith, I thought Seattle wasn't going to be able to come back. But Russell Wilson showing some resilience. 33 passes, 320 yards, a touchdown. 0 credit for 0 rushes, though. So they were really – their defensive strategy, the Carolina Panthers, and you could see this, was to bottle Russell Wilson up. They were not going to let him get around the ends. They sent the ends as far up the field as they could to keep Russell Wilson inside. They didn't want him moving left or right. They kept him in the pocket, and Russell Wilson had 25 completions out of 33 pass attempts. So he showed that he could beat a team from the pocket. Seattle Seahawks muscle a win from the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and Atlanta loses today. I believe the Saints took care of them, and Tampa Bay loses again. So it's going to be a rough road for Carolina because a lot of the other teams we're talking about, they're really going to take the positions within the next 3-4 weeks. I always look at the NFL season within the first 4 weeks, and I think you get a clearer picture in week 5 as to who's going to be there, who's not, because reality sets in terms of their schedule, and obviously strength of schedule has a lot to factor to do that. But, you know, within 5 weeks, you can pretty much tell who's going to be going where and who's not. What did you think of the Bears in the Trestman era, 24-21, Bengals? Everybody's had this hype on the Bengals. The Bengals, you know, I've even had ridiculous out there where people saying Bengals-Seattle in the Super Bowl. I don't believe in the Who Day yet. I don't think they're that good. They might be a playoff-bound team, but I don't believe they're good enough to go all the way. So what did you think of Trestman and the Bears?
Great win for the Chicago Bears, showing that, hey, they were a 10-win team last year, going to try to pick up where they left off this. If they didn't win this game, okay, with Detroit winning and everybody else in the division taking a loss, can you believe Minnesota, the way they started, ended up taking a loss to Detroit? I mean, Detroit would have been the number one team in this division with everybody else. So Bears definitely needed to take this win. In terms of talking about Cincinnati and Cleveland, two teams that people thought were actually going to do a little better than they did, both going 0-1 for today. Cincy losing to Chicago, Dalton, 2 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. He's up there in terms of, I mean, great throwing percentage, 28 out of 33, okay, 282 yards. He didn't look – he looks better than – I mean, he's only a second-year quarterback. He looks very good out there, but why he couldn't lead this team over the hump, I couldn't tell you. The Chicago Bears picked him off a couple of times. Tillman seemed to have his number out there. One almost touchdown, called back. It just didn't seem to be the Bengals' day in terms of the Bears going out there and winning this game. I didn't think Jay Cutler – had the best of games. I'm a heavy critic when it comes to Jay Cutler. I love the way he throws the football. I don't think anybody really throws the football prettier than he does. But I just a little enigmatic with him. I just can't go behind him 100%. So great win for the Bears. I think it's more a bad loss for Cincinnati, who should have and had an opportunity to win this game. Bears pull it out 24-21. I think Cincy's going to look back at this game and say, we probably should have had this game.
And that's what I'm saying, is like, because it really didn't look like the Bears were all cylinders, but bottom line, they pulled out the win, and it kind of puts Trestman at a 1-0 record as a coach, and pretty impressive coming from the CFL. We'll see how he evolves in the next couple weeks as well. So how about the Colts and the Raiders? What was your impression of Luck today? I mean, obviously they pulled out, they squeezed out a win, but what do you think the Colts are at in that division?
Not Luck's best game, only 178 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, but a win is a win, especially against a team coming all the way from the West Coast. Again, Oakland coming into Indy playing that early start. Colts take them out 21-17. Now, Luck against a team like this is another one of the teams that are on the definitely the bottom of the NFL. I ranked them down near 28, 29, 30, 31, way down there. And the fact that Luck wasn't able to kind of carve this team up. Andrew Luck, had what I thought was a very impressive preseason. He looked like he was ready to go by week three of the preseason. He was ready to jump right in. And for him to have this kind of game against that kind of defense just leads me to pause here. So, you know, we'll see what he can do next week. It's going to be a game where, you know, they're going to have a home game. So they'll have the Dolphins come into Indianapolis. We'll see if Luck can kind of improve against the Dolphins defense that we saw again today, take down Brandon Whedon. So we'll see if the Dolphins can go 2-0 and take down the Indianapolis Colts. But the Colts pull out that win against the Raiders, 21-17. Luck not as impressive
now,
as I'd like him to have been.
Now, Joseph, I was impressed with Breeze because, you know, having the coach back, Sean Payton, and putting that together and, you know, putting that kind of regime back together. Are you anticipating that this Saints team's going to take off, you know, with a couple wins in the next couple weeks? Because that's what it looked like against Atlanta. And even though they just squeezed out a 23-17 win, it really looked like it was back to some sort of, you know, a semblance. So do you feel like New Orleans maybe is going to get the better of that division, even though Atlanta came off of, you know, a good year last year?
I didn't think it was going to happen that quick. Sean Payton comes back and the New Orleans Saints all of a sudden return to dominance. I thought this was a game that Atlanta needed to win to kind of show New Orleans that Atlanta is now the new toast of the town. But no, the Saints take the game 23-17. Drew Brees, very impressive. Back to those numbers that we all get to know from Drew Brees. 357 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Drew Brees, definitely impressive. The New Orleans Saints, are they going to be on that track? Will it be them at MetLife for the Super Bowl? I can't go that far. I don't even have them winning their division in terms of who's going to come out. I actually think Carolina's got a better chance of winning the division than New Orleans does. I'm not as impressed with the team whose defense is year in and year out one of the worst. Defense, maybe it's more offense wins nowadays, and the old adage of defense winning you championships may not be what the NFL is now, but I can't see a team with the 32nd, 31st ranked defense being able to take on teams, but they were able to beat the Atlanta Falcons today 23-17.
Yeah, I, in reality, you got to have at least a top 10 defense to even be competitive in the playoffs. So that, I mean, that's usually a reality. It's very rare when you have a team up in the 20s and even be in a playoff caliber mentality unless your offensive side of the ball is literally on all cylinders. The one disappointment out of the whole day, you know, the first half right at this point, I think was the Steelers for me. You know, the Steelers against Tennessee, they didn't anticipate Tennessee was going to be that good of a squad, but I just didn't think Pittsburgh was going to just be that bad. And it looks to me like they got some growing pains coming up here in the next couple weeks, and if they don't get it together, they might be at an 0-3 mentality.
Again, fans of the show can follow me on Twitter at Josie Haas. I again tweeted my hashtag to the lockdown. My second game was the Titans to shock the Steelers. I looked at the Titans,
really?
A team that could go in, and yes, that was my second lock, to go in and take the Steelers. I just wasn't ready for what was going on there in Pittsburgh. People think that Pittsburgh are going to come back and have a resurgence this year. I heavily doubt it. I've actually got Pittsburgh at the bottom of their division by the end of the season this year. I don't have high hopes for a team like Pittsburgh. A weak Tennessee team, Locker, 11 for 20 and 125 yards, was able to come in and handle them. I don't see the Steelers looking up. I see the Titans as a team that can impress later in the season. Give Walker some slaps, let him get some reps. Let's see how good this Tennessee Titans team can be. But I think Pittsburgh is on, they're on the way down. It's going to be back-to-back seasons of Pittsburgh not making the playoffs, and I can't remember how long it's been since that's happened.
Do you think the coaching situation is going to be pretty stable even after this year? As an assessment, you don't think it's going to be a change of any sort if they go into a bad mode?
No. What you've got to do is give a coach a chance. Just coming in second year, give a coach a chance to establish something. He's got a young quarterback, changing the team over, getting his philosophy there. Give a coach a chance, and that's something that you're not seeing a lot of in the NFL. I say that, but I'm here covering the Jets, where it seems like the New York Jets are giving Rex Ryan chance after chance here. But you don't see that a lot in the NFL. You see a lot of teams quick to make changes. Let's let a coach get his system in. Let's let his philosophy kind of take over the room before we're quick to make a change. So I see Tennessee holding on to that coach for at least one more season.
All right, Joe, I appreciate you coming on. Very insightful. Our fans appreciate it. We follow you every week, you know, on your Twitter feed and everything. And so can you give the fans, before you go, the prediction for the Sunday night and the Monday night matchups? Do you have any key locks there in terms of the for Monday night. I know we got two games there and on. How about Sunday night? You got anything for Sunday night?
For Sunday night, that's Giants and Cowboys. I haven't really taken a serious look at it, but the Giants have pretty much owned the Cowboys at the new Dallas Stadium, the new AT&T, as they call it. I can see the Giants being competitive in this game, but the Giants, one of their keys has always been their defense, especially the defensive line. JPP coming back from back surgery still. I just don't see them in Tuck. Looking a little better this preseason, but hasn't been the player the last couple of years that we've known Justin Tuck to be. The secondary has always been an issue with the Giants. That's not going to change. They're going to have issues. And for one of the first times, we're going to see the New York Giants having issues with their linebacking corps. So the defense is going to be issues, whereas Tony Romo's got nothing but weapons out there for the Dallas offense. So it might look like they're bucking a trend, and the Cowboys might kick out the New York Giants tonight here on Sunday Night Football.
All right, so the Monday Nighters, you got two Monday Nighters. Are you taking the Chargers at this point, or who are you taking in the Monday night games?
Well, okay, kind of on the spot with the predictions, but I'll sit here and take a look at them. The Chargers at home against the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans are a team that they need to get this ball rolling in terms of get back to where they feel they belong. I don't think they believe that they should have been a one-and-done team last season in the playoffs, so I believe the Houston Texans are going to start the ball rolling right here in San Diego and take out the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, you really think Schaub's going to have a good game, huh?
I don't see the San Diego Chargers defensive backs and secondary as a team that can handle what Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub are going to bring to them. And especially with a complementary running game, I can see the Texans being a very strong, very strong road team in this game.
Yeah, and I probably agree with you in that sense. So, Joseph, tell the fans where they can engage with you on the social media. I know you're on Twitter. Is there any other avenues on the social sites that they can engage with you?
Everybody can always follow me on Twitter at Josie Haas. Hit me. Send me an email if you'd like to josephhaasnfl@gmail.com. Check out all the websites, hcofnyj.com, hostileinterpretations.com, Yahoo Voices. Sometimes I write for Yahoo, just published an article now about Act Like You've Been There. That's about college football, so I do a little bit of that as well. And they can always catch me every Saturday on the Green and White Show with Joseph Haas and James Grant, where we make every Saturday afternoon feel like a football Sunday.
All right. So, Joe, like I said again, appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the follow on Twitter and for engaging with us. We look forward to a long NFL season. You're welcome back anytime if you want to chat out, and we'll probably get with you probably in the middle of the season, if that's okay with you, and then we'll talk about NFL as we get into the sixth or seventh week in terms of how the picture is unraveling at that point. So congratulations to you today. Congratulations to the Jets, Geno Smith. I think everybody's a sigh of relief there in that sense because, you know, coming off, a lot of question marks in the preseason, but now it's sort of 1-0, so we'll see how he evolves in week two.
Thank you so much for having me on. God bless. Go Jets. Go Niners Empire. And have a good rest of the show. I'll be listening in.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Have a good afternoon. Safe travels out there.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. So that was Joseph Haas from the Green and White Show. You can get follow him on Twitter. And you can, if you follow us, we're always retweeting his posts as well. Very insightful. He's given us a scoop on the NFL. And every week now going forward, we're going to have a co-host next week, and going forward we'll have a permanent co-host hopefully at this point, and we're going to dive into the NFL for about 20 minutes. The first half hour we're going to dive into women's gridiron and see what the gridiron scene is going all about, but for the latter half of the hour we are going to go ahead and dive into the NFL. So thanks for everybody for joining us today. We appreciate it. I wanted just to mention, give a hats out and a huge shout out to the Chicago Bliss, Heather Furr, Christelle Harris, Chantel Taylor, Joshie Rice, Allie Alberts. I want to give a big shout out to them. They played an amazing game in Las Vegas at the Legends Bowl and the first Legends Bowl champions. They were very hungry. They were on a roll. They took their whole game mindset from Coach Hack. Guaranteed win against Green Bay, guaranteed win against L.A., guaranteed win against Seattle, and ultimately the guaranteed win against Philadelphia. And for the Philadelphia girls, All I can say is, you know, it's always been a problem at the end. It's consistency to get there, and they've done a great job year in, year out for getting their team to the final game. It's just, it's unfortunate that, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a curse. It's always been a situation for Philadelphia where they come into the last game in the matchup, especially the last 3 years, and they just somehow collapse. And unfortunately for them, they lose out to the better team. And the Bliss were on fire, on dial. They were able to come in and take care of business. You know, Philadelphia has to look at themselves, especially with all the turmoil in the early in the season, the coaching change and everything else. You know, hats off to them for turning it around and still making it to the final. So nothing to be ashamed about in terms of losing the final game, but in reality, you know, it's something that they needed to overcome and they could not. So technically in the LFL, you know, history books, you know, Philadelphia becomes the first Buffalo Bills of the NFL, you know, back-to-back-to-back appearances and never winning it. So let's hope that, you know, they stick together and they come back for another season and they regroup. The West is going to be tough. Rumor has it Chicago will move to the East. That's going to make it even tougher for the East Coast. But, you know, overall, if you followed us on Twitter, you can get the information. You can go to YouTube at YouTube/MyLFL, and you can catch all the games from the playoff slate up to the final. And you can see that the Chicago Bliss, an evolution of championship caliber football all the way down. So congratulations to them. And congratulations to the city of Chicago, because in the women's gridiron game, the traditional game, which was the Women's Football Alliance, the Chicago Force was the national champions of the Women's Football Alliance. Sammy Grassoffi, Jennifer Gray, and the amazing defensive line of the Chicago Force, they went and won the national championship. And now you have Chicago Bliss from the legend side, which is a non-traditional side of football. So Chicago really is Women's Gridiron Championship Central on both sides of the ball. So congratulations to the Bliss and to the Force for being the top notch in the women's game. We have brand new news coming into the show, shocking news. Legends Football League, October 5th was the date that's been moved to. It was normally slated for kickoff September 13th. Now it's going to be moved to October 5th. From our news sources, we're getting some financial difficulties in the works. We don't know that for sure, but I can tell you right now that there's a situation internally in terms of the league setup, in terms of the scope of the league. There are some financial concerns going forward into the season. At this point, it's questionable whether LFL Australia will launch. So that's from our sources that we have. We can't confirm that. You can always go to the website there at MyLFL on Facebook, or you can see if the LFL 360 will have anything different to report in terms of the delay of the LFL Canada season and the elimination of a couple games. So for those fans that obviously were anticipating, especially in Calgary and in BC, anticipating some of that anticipation to come in, that you're going to have to wait till October 5th. So looking forward to that. The other shout-out that we need to give to is the Liga Bikini, the football in Mexico. They had their opening game this weekend, as well as the Lingerie Mexican League, which started with the Cardinals and Amazonas. So we will have all the updates on Facebook starting in the middle of the week as we get our contacts at Network to give us the feed for that and some of the posts of fixtures and all that. So if you need to be involved with the women's game, follow us on Facebook and as well on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty and on Facebook at Gridiron Beauties as well. You can also go to our website and you can check out all our No Joke Football apparel. We appreciate everybody, you know, buying our gear and spreading the word out about Women's Gridiron. You go to the site. We are having a 15% off sale. You can use code SUMMERSHIRTS going forward up to the end of September. So you can also visit our site at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties, and you can get everything that's No Joke Football. You can customize any player, jersey, anything that you want to do with the No Joke Football slogan. So we really appreciate everybody's support, and it's been a great month of sales, and we are very thankful for that and for your support with our brand. Next week, we have a show lineup as well, and we're going to have the Manna Allison, and she's going to be from the California Quicks of the IWFL, and she also has runs MissGridiron.com. So, and then we have Emery Hunt, who's going to come in, the czar of the playbook. He's going to come in next week, and we're going to talk NFL as well, like we did with Joseph Haas today. And we'll look forward to the NFL slate of games next week as the season evolves. So thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it, and we welcome you next week on Sunday as we have an exciting show for you lined up, and we hope to talk NFL football as well as women's gridiron. This has been Oscar Lopez, and we look forward to you on next Sunday for Gridiron Beauties Radio.